I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Kaylin.
And you are tuning in to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from the very top of Burnaby Mountain.
We're stoked to be your host for the next hour, exploring local and global events using sociological perspectives. Thanks for tuning in.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. Good evening, everybody, to the first episode of Sociologic.
I don't know about you, Rebecca, but I am so excited.
So excited.
Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so this is the first episode of our show. Obviously, you've tuned in 7 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, where we are going to just be talking about a bunch of different things through, like, sociological lens, but we've got different sociological lenses.
Yeah, so, yeah, a couple things about us. I am from the United States. I grew up in Seattle, and I'm now attending Simon Fraser University, pursuing a minor in, a major in sociology, minor in international studies. And then Rebecca.
Yeah, and then I'm completely different. So I study sociology and criminology back in the UK in a university called Loughborough. It's like in the middle of England. Nobody's really ever heard of it. And I'm currently just doing kind of year out working abroad, and I've come to Canada because I have a dual citizenship. And I was like, let's try something new. And so our backgrounds, and despite us doing the same degree, pretty much our backgrounds are, we've noticed, are very different.
That's kind of what got us to starting this, was you were like, I want to start a radio show. And I was also intrigued. A bunch of my friends work here at the radio, including you. And so I was also excited to get involved. And so we did this together because we realized, wow, we're coming at this from pretty different angles, even though on paper it would say very similar.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the whole goal was, there's no real black and white in a lot of things, and it's interesting to see like the different kind of perspectives that you can get from what would be considered like the same background.
Yeah,
almost, but also different. I don't know, but it should be really interesting. And today's show is a very chill kind of easing into it. We're going to introduce the show a bit, what you can like expect from future episodes. If you like what you're hearing, you want to keep tuning in, which I think you all should.
We love you. You're awesome.
But also to talk a bit, like we're kind of delving a little bit into a topic about like the university experience and university life and how we see similarities and differences in what we both experience, because we're the same age. Mm-hmm. So, but we've had quite different experiences, especially because right now, even though I'm technically in university, I'm not doing any like courses or anything. So it's quite interesting to see how you're handling like university and everything else. But before we get into all of that, we'll ease in with a song.
Yeah.
chill intro in. So this song's one that I found, and if you've heard my open mics before on a Thursday, you will probably recognize the band. It's an English band from London called The Hunna, and they are one of my absolute favorite indie rock bands. And this is a song off of their 2019 album called Dare. And it's called Lover. So if you haven't heard it, I hope you really enjoy it. And if you have heard it, I hope you enjoy it again. And we'll see you right after it.
Cause they're just not used to our ways. Most times
everyone. Welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio. You are currently tuned into the very first episode of Sociologic.
For any of the people here, we're so glad to have you since day one, because today is day one.
Yeah, the day one fans.
Yeah, number one fans even.
Exactly. So I guess we should just jump right in and maybe just talk a bit about what you can kind of expect from Sociologic. What can you expect from Rebecca and Kaylin every Tuesday at 7 p.m.?
Yeah. Basically, a little bit about what we were planning is just we're going to have some discussions. A big thing with across a lot of the social sciences, it's a big discussion based, specifically in the classrooms, I feel like.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is talking, trying to make sense, reproducing ideas, which happens when multiple sources are like talking together to make the ideas into more concrete ones together. So we'll be doing a lot of that, coming from different sides. What else, Rebecca?
Yeah, I think you kind of like summed it up. One thing is, it's going to be a very like, I'd say like, it's like you said, like discussion based. It's not going to be like, this is like the topic and we're going to have like a full like 50 page research on every theory that's about it. And it's kind of, we both have a passion for the subject and we want to talk about it. And if you want to listen and you want to maybe find out a bit more and like maybe you haven't thought about things in this way and like springboarded stuff, it's kind of like just a discussion, a safe discussion space.
Yeah, I think. I feel like a thing that really drew me to sociology originally, because the way that I got into it is kind of weird, because I was on a gap year in between high school and university, and in the States we would call it college, because everything, you go to college, doesn't matter if it's a university or not. So I was visiting a friend at their college, and she took me to her first day of sociology class, and I loved it. I was like, oh my goodness, this is so fascinating. This is what I want to study. And so shout out to whatever Western Washington University professor that was.
You fueled Kaylin's lifelong future.
What I really appreciated is the way that I'm able to think about things and critique things. It's a very critical science type of thing, where you're looking at things, analyzing it, trying to figure out like the power inequality, what's going on. It leads into a lot of nice activism thinking. It's super cool.
Yeah, I think as well, like you touching upon it, it's a very critical thing. Yeah. It develops your critical thinking so much, because you're constantly being like posed with a topic and you could just be like, well, I think this, and then they could be like, but have you thought about this though? And then you're like, oh wow, like no.
It's and a lot of those hidden whys.
Yeah, and you're constantly like thinking, like for example with theories, you're constantly looking at theory, but how is that theory limited? Where does it fall short? Why does it fall short? And where does a theory supplement that theory? Mm-hmm. Is it because society's changed? Or was the theory ever relevant to begin with?
Yeah. So. And if we kind of sound like we're talking crazy, I guess we could put this more into context with one of our questions, maybe, of like, you can hear, listen along and hear how we break this down a little bit using our sociological thinking. So let's do the first one. Is there a universal expectation of the university experience? What do you think?
I think to an extent.
To an extent.
To an extent.
That's
there's
a sociologist's favorite.
Yeah, I agree to an extent. I think it's very culturally based on like your university experience. It's very much based on like where your university is situated. I've recognized that a lot since being over here. But I do think there are some shared, like, I would say like core aspects of the university experience, right? Like, I think for one, is kind of like one very cool thing is the freedom that you get.
For sure.
You like, that's pretty much in nearly every university experience, because you're going away to university. You're not like going down the road to high school.
But see, even so, I feel like,
I was gonna say, it's different for this uni a bit.
Yeah, because I So I'm from Seattle. So kind of what I realized after coming here is that my my understanding of the university experience was based very heavily off of the University of Washington, because that's where my mom went,
mm-hmm.
Washington State University, where my dad went, and then Western Washington University, where a bunch of my friends have gone, and then also through, like, media, social media, college accounts, watching movies, of course. But a big thing was that, is that you would go away and go live somewhere else. Here, a lot of people in the greater Vancouver area just commute from home. I live on campus here at SFU, and there's, for the number of students they have here, there's a very insignificant number of on-campus residents, which is just super different than a lot of other schools down at home, where they are expecting a majority of their students to live at the school. My sister's school, she goes to Whitman College in Walla Walla. It is a private school, so it kind of has a little bit more power and things and such. But all students are required to live on campus for the first 2 years. It doesn't matter if you're from Walla Walla or not. Like, you have to live. But that's part of their trying to get everybody to talk to each other and, so, and make friends.
Yeah, because it's like, in the UK, it's a really small percentage of people that will go to a university local to them. Majority are getting, like, as far away as possible from their houses.
Mm-hmm.
And you physically can't do the commute, so you have to live on, like, in residence on campus first year. That's kind of, that's where I was going with, like, I wouldn't say it's a shared experience, like a universal university experience in terms of living on campus, because I would have said that before I came here.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been my expectation going into university, because that's all I know in the UK. All I know in the UK is that you travel as far as you want away and you live on campus, and it's very different here. And you will do that for your first year, definitely, pretty much 99%. Will be like doing that first year, and then after that it's kind of like up to you. Do you want to stay on campus? You can do. If not, you can go into the house. Most people will go into housing in the towns and things. So it's interesting, because that's also what I would say is portrayed mainly in the media as well. Like, you're looking at all of the like university type movies and stuff. It's a very like a westernized idea, yet here it's different.
And
in a westernized country as well. Because
I was thinking about it, too, because I have a lot of friends who go to the University of Washington, and that's in Seattle. It's in the University District. It's 20 minutes driving without traffic away from my high school. And I have a lot of friends who go there that their family lives, like, 10 minutes away from them driving, but they don't live at home. But here, all of those, if those people were going to school up here, they would all just be living at home because they wouldn't have moved off campus. But I would, that also, Vancouver does have a pretty good public transportation system in comparison to Seattle, at least, for sure.
I do, would definitely agree, like, in comparison to, like,
that definitely UK plays a factor.
Because I think, like, UK, like, you look at the SkyTrain here, essentially the equivalent of the SkyTrain is the London Tube, and that just covers London. Like, that's not covering if you're going to a university up in, like, Manchester.
But even so, like, that, what I'm saying for them is it's the equivalent of them living in Coquitlam, where all of the people who live in Coquitlam, or a large majority, obviously there's some outliers, are just going to transit here and live at home. But also, housing prices. Because that plays a factor, too. A lot of people can't afford to move out in Vancouver because it costs wild, large amounts of money.
Because I don't know what the loan system's like for Canadian students going to university.
In terms of the student loans or housing loans?
Oh, well, is it different?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I know like, you got... This doesn't because you're not a Canadian student either.
Nope.
You're international.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting thought that I have, is I don't actually know how the loan system here works, because back home we have our loan system's called student finance, and you get like a maintenance loan, which is like for your rent, your food, your living, and it's calculated
based off of your parents' income. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be put in a certain bracket. So the more your parents earn, the less your loan is.
Yeah.
Because it's like your parents can afford to kind of like supplement you.
We have, oh my gosh, what's it called in the States?
Because then we also have a tuition loan, which is just completely paid by student finance. And then when you earn an income, you pay that back to the government, essentially. So it's interesting in that aspect that that's our two loans. And I think, like, for the majority of housing costs, like, definitely my second year house, my loan didn't even fully complete my rent based on how much, because I was on bare minimum loan based on what my parents earned. So it didn't even, like, my parents had to supplement, like, help supplement the remainder of the rent. And then you're still not even thinking about food. Mm-hmm. But that's the norm. Yeah. That is the norm in the UK for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like the loans are there, they help a bit, but they don't actually really cover anything. But you're almost expecting your parents. Most people expect their parents, and parents feel expected to be funding your child whilst they're at university.
How much does school cost?
So for a year, it's £9,250 at the moment, which is, you're looking close to $19,000.
USD or CAD?
CAD.
Gotcha.
And then that's right now, it's increasing. So next year it's £9,500. And then the year after that, it's increasing to 10,000 something.
And that doesn't matter on the number of classes you take. That's just what it is.
Set price, yeah.
Wow, that's super cool. Yeah, that's...
Cool's one way of putting it when you look at the debt at the end.
I mean, but I'm from the United States, dude. We have some... Oh, my gosh. There's private schools. I have friends who are going to schools that just... what is it? Cal Poly doesn't have scholarships.
Oh.
And that school is so expensive. You go into so much debt. But I was looking at ours. Ours is called FAFSA, which is the free application for federal student aid. And it's similarly tiered based on income or, like, if you're supporting your own income.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe... Don't quote me on this. I do believe that this is primarily for your actual paying for the school. And I think there are ways to get access to stuff for supplemental stuff for housing and food and such.
Because it's slightly different. You're on a scholarship here that covers your school costs.
Yeah, school costs, but not home costs.
Yeah. So how do you find that?
I mean, it's very nice.
Yeah.
International tuition here is really expensive.
Yeah.
Even with the conversion rate to the dollar. So it is very nice to not have that on my back. And
played a big
part in me choosing to come here.
Yeah. With, like, your living costs, how do you find, like, I would say maybe, like, potentially weighing up, like, if you have friends in the States, how is it kind of, like, comparing, like, your living costs if you take away, like, tuition?
Let me think. I think it's fairly similar because I save money because of the conversion rate. So it's living on campus. I live in the townhouses. It's about roughly, I'm not remembering it exactly correctly, it's about 3,800 CAD, which will translate to about 3,200 USD, give or take. And that's for 4 months.
Right, okay.
So, oh my gosh, don't make me do math on air. That's crazy.
But yeah, right. So you save money with the conversion. $700
a month-ish. And that's about what... That's slightly less than what my friends are paying. But then I'm also buying food and then other things. So I feel like I'm paying fairly similar to... Unless I have friends that are living in places that are cheaper. And that's when you get rural or when you're not in the cities. But I'd say fairly similar. But yeah. And then I'm saving tuition money, which is convenient.
just a tad bit convenient.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's interesting because it's like I have the concept of I'm saving money. Like when people say, like, you've come all of this way and you're doing, like, internships where you're not getting paid. And it's like, but you've spent all the money to get over here. And, like, living out here during, like, the affordability, like, issues that are going on. And I'm like, yeah, except you're actually, it's cheaper for me living here than it is in England.
Yeah.
With the conversion rate. Like, I end up actually pretty much saving money in almost every purchase I make.
Yeah.
I, like, always use this common one of getting a large coffee is, like, half the price here.
Wow.
Even with, like, the tax on top, it's still, like, half the price. And if I was to get like a medium coffee in England.
Wow.
From like the same like chain, if I'm looking at the chains, like Starbucks and stuff. So yeah. I look at it like it's quite interesting how the conversion rate can save a lot of people in terms of like international students as well.
No, for sure, because they do, there's a, but at the same time, then there's also conversion rates for people who, that go against.
Mm, yeah.
Like friends from India and Brazil, mm-hmm. that's not in their favor.
Yeah. And,
yeah, so it's a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm. So, talking about like if we think there is a universal expectation of it, how would you define the quote unquote university experience?
I feel like in terms of what I was led to believe is the universal experience, both of my parents were in Greek life. So sororities, fraternities, and we're super involved. And so therefore I feel like my understanding mixed with like those pictures that you'd and videos, clips you'd see in the movies of the college experiences, you know, was like partying and going to the frat. And I mean, I'm from the States, drinking age is 21. So you're like sneaking alcohol.
Yeah.
God, and I can't, stuff like that.
I can't
and
even
like,
think that. Sneaking alcohol at age 21.
Yeah.
Well, 20.
The dorms and living on campus with other people, you know, sitting in the yards with the games. I don't know, studying. Also homework and complaining about it, I feel like.
Yeah. Is,
something that I was thought of, but I feel like almost all of those things still hit true, except for the Greek life is not very strong here. And I think that is in part due. I mean, I don't know how Greek life really works in Canada, actually. I just know we have
there is,
two frats-ish, but it works very differently than it does in the States.
Yeah,
up here. But I just don't know a lot about it. And yeah.
Okay.
What about you? What do you think?
For me, I think it's very similar. And take out the Greek life. That doesn't really exist in the UK at all. But it's more like the partying. Like, I heard about... So, both my parents went to university, but my mum's university experience was slightly different to my dad's because my mum's was kind of like... Hers was... She did an architecture course and she went to a polytechnic first, which is kind of like just... It's like half a uni and then went to a university and finished off her degree. Whereas my dad was in a university for the full 7 years of his medical degree. And the expectation I had from hearing like their stories was like, my dad was like, it's a lot of drinking. Like you're going out clubbing for the first time because our drinking age is 18 and you start university at 18.
Yeah.
So it's like you're freshly turned 18, freshly into like legal drinking, going out to the nightclubs. Like the nightlife aspect is heavily in what I would class as like a UK university experience.
Yeah, I feel like my understanding of the UK university or even just the general, I have some friends in the Netherlands that I went and visited and they were like, yeah, they were just telling me these stories and I'm like, whoa, who even are you? I just remember when we used to run cross country together, but this is crazy, dude.
Yeah, and like one big thing that I think the UK as a whole is known for, but it's shared quite a bit with university is pub culture. Pub culture is such, I think, a big part of the university experience because it's like just social drinking and it's like you don't have to get like absolutely wasted or anything, but you're going out, you're meeting people, you're socializing, you're getting to know your flatmates, and the way you do it is you go to the pub and you all chat over a pint or you do like a pub quiz or something. And then there's now like variations of like pub games and like pub crawls and pub golf and everything that involves the pub is like UK culture. And I think as part of it as well is because you're getting all of this freedom from your parents kind of watching over you because we all live away from home, that you kind of just go a bit crazy in first year because you've gone from living with your parents to living with a bunch of people your own age.
Yeah.
You have your own money, basically, and you're just told you have to be in, like, your lectures at these, like, 2 hours a day or whatever.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's your time.
For sure.
And for me, first year of my degree didn't count towards my degree. You just had to pass. Didn't care what mark you got. You just had to pass.
Oh, interesting. No way.
Yeah, to stay on the course, you just had to pass. So that means you just had to get 40%.
Oh, wow.
And it doesn't matter, like, what percentage didn't affect your degree. Only in second year you did. So everyone kind of viewed first year, it's like your free pass. Go crazy. Do what you want. Like, go drinking, go socially. Fun. Yeah, as long as you pass the degree, you can stay on the course. And then second year, it's, like, a bit more serious. And now starts, like, the percentages start to matter.
Yeah.
A bit more. For sure. And, like, I remember my introductory lecture of, like, welcome to the university, welcome to the course. And they said to us, yeah, your first year doesn't really count because we want you to transition because it's a big transition. Uh-huh. You're going from probably not cooking, doing laundry or anything yourself to living on your own, making sure you're paying rent, mm-hmm. like independent learning, all this. And they're like, it's a big change and a lot of people struggle with it. So we didn't want the added, they're like, we didn't want the added pressure of that counting. Yeah. But a lot of people just saw that as, right, so I can get like wasted three times a week and it'll all be great. Because that's what a lot of people did. It just was constantly going out. Like mm-hmm. We have a nightclub on campus and awesome. There's nightclubs in the town and we're by two big cities that have nightclubs in them that yeah. are a 10-minute train away. So we're like pretty much surrounded by nightclubs. And the student like union one on campus had two nights out every Wednesday and every Friday. Oh, and then special events on like the odd Thursday every semester or something. Huh. So there's constant like